Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
All right. It is Tuesday, January 3rd, 2012. My name's Tom Marquis, and welcome to the Ballot/Gary Snyder Show. We're going to be joining Gary Snyder, 1400 WBAT in Marion. Just got off the phone with on the first part of our regional show before we go national, which is what we do every day. We have a little regional show up there in Marion, Indiana. Just got off the phone with Brian Howie talking about the State House and the new rule that comes into play today that, you know, 3,000 people, that's it. That's the cap, no more. And they say it's for fire reasons. And quite frankly, between me and you, I think that's a bunch of crap. But, you know, it is what it is. And hopefully our listeners here in Indiana can call the governor's office and let them know. I by no means am in siding with the Democrats on the right to work. I certainly think that it's a passage that needs to get passed. And I think that they'll get it done. But, you know, a lot of people think that maybe there's like 12 Republicans that think that this right to work passage won't pass. And I am a firm believer that they put this cap of amount of people out there at the State House in Indiana of 3,000 people to limit the protesters for right to work. So obviously that's a saga that will continue as the session moves along. Obviously that was one of the top priorities that the Republicans said that they wanted to, you know, accomplish and get passed. Well, guys, it's day two. Bill Polian is gone. The Indianapolis Colts, as you know, yesterday, and you heard here on the Balance Radio Network, have fired the Bill and Chris team. Bill and Chris Polian, obviously, vice president or vice chairman or whatever his official title was, and his son, Chris Polian. And, you know, I find it very, very interesting, and we're going to get into this topic here in just a moment with Jay Graves of the Jay Graves Report. Holla at your boy. Yes, he's back on with us, and I do believe Jimmy the intern is going to be on with us as well when we team up with 1400 WBAT out there in Marion for our daily simulcast. And maybe some of you guys are listening to us for the very first time right here in Indianapolis or across the nation. And here's what we do every day. From 5 to 7 o'clock p.m., we simulcast with 1400 WBAT in Marion, and we do a live portion from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern, and then from 6 to 7 p.m., we play hour number two of the Gary Snyder Show, as it was heard, on 1400 WBAT in Marion, and I usually jump in about the 4:30 mark, which would be about the 6:30 mark on our show. Sound complicated? Well, it's not. Just stick around for 2 hours. That's all you got to do. Stay listening to us for 2 hours. You got nothing else to do. Trust me, if you stop listening to us, the honeydew list gets very, very loud. So maybe you're at work, maybe you're streaming this on your phone, your computers, or maybe you're listening to us on our various different affiliate stations across the nation. A lot of times you guys, especially our friends up in Detroit, hear us a day later on our tape delay, and we're so glad that you guys are joining us on Hump Day as well. Well, we're going to be right back, and when we get back, we're going to team up with 1400 WBAT and Marion. And we're going to kind of break down what happened yesterday with the Colts. Obviously, for those of you that don't know, the Colts fired longtime general manager and vice president Bill Polian and his son Chris Polian. We're going to get into that and, you know, some IU coverage as well. You're listening to The Balance, Slush Gary Snyder Show on the Balance Radio Network. like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Welcome back to The Balance. It's Les Gary Snyder Show, folks. Happy Iowa Caucus Day for all of our listeners up in Iowa, Cedar Rapids area. So glad that you guys could join us today on The Balance. Hey, who do you think's going to be? Who are you guys going to be out there voting for, if you're a registered Republican, that is? No ambushers out there in Iowa. Don't go and vote for Paul just to make Gary Snyder happy. Man is in love with Ron Paul. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But each man to his choice. And it's the first of the great primaries for the 2012 presidential election. Who is going to defeat and kick Obama out of office? That's my opinion. There's probably a lot of people that disagree with me on that. But one great thing about this show is we give you a complete balance of sports, politics, pop culture. It's where all the worlds come and collide, right here on the Balance Radio Network. We're standing by to team up with 1400 WBAT and Marion, and we're going to be teaming up with him and Gary Snyder and Jimmy the Intern and Jay Gray. So the jaygraysreport.com. How about your boy? Man, it's good to have him on. Part of he adds a lot of energy, and we're going to be going right to him. Obviously, the things on tap here is to continue our conversation from yesterday for our friends on 1400 WBAT and Marion about the firing of Bill Polian, and obviously we're going to try to get in some IU talk because, yes, IU basketball is winning. This is the Balance Radio Network. Stand by. We'll be right back.
On the Gary Snyder Show. Welcome back. We're going to take a quick exit from politics, talk a little bit about sports, and of course, we're always joined at this time to the end by Tom Marquis and the Balance Radio Network. Tom, say hi.
Hi, and welcome to the Balance Radio Network, and happy Iowa Caucus Day to you, Mr. Gary.
We're just calling it the Gary Snyder Show Caucus today.
And we're also
joining us, he is the official IU sports intern for the Gary Snyder Show, not only covering IU football and basketball at home, but going out of his way for the extra credit, heading up to Michigan State and over to Penn State, maybe, here next week. That would be Jimmy Cavanaugh.
Gary, I'll say this much. I mean, you give me too much credit by saying that I do it for the extra credit, because to my knowledge, there is no extra credit. I mean, it's just, you know, it's going to an IU basketball game, wherever the road may take me. And I will say this, too, over break, Tom was talking about your love for Ron Paul. I'll tie this into the world of sports by saying that the Ron Paul candidacy this year compares really favorably to IU's early strength of schedule before playing Kentucky. There weren't a whole lot of people who were sure they were doing well because there was nowhere else for him to go up again. So we'll see exactly how this plays out and if his candidacy follows the template of the IU basketball season.
Let me ask you this. You're a college student. Are you a Pauly?
I'll tell you this much, Gary. If it were any other year, I'm looking for a reason to not back Ron Paul, but I'm having trouble finding it. We'll leave it at that.
Well, hey, if we do get those credentials for you for Penn State, need I have to give you the warnings before you had
it? If they what?
I said, if you do head over to Penn State, do we really have to give you the warnings ahead of time, or do you know just to stay away from the football program?
I think I can steer my way around. If I see a scared-looking 30-year-old ginger, I'll turn the other way. But aside from that.
So you know better if someone says, hey, young man, come and take a shower with me.
I think I can put the signs together. I think I'll manage to be okay.
Also joining us, he is the publisher of the Jay Graves Report. That would be whom else? Jay Graves, welcome.
Jay Graves, holla at your boy.
How about that? I'm too white to do that. All right, let's go to Jimmy first. Big win for the Hoosiers. You were there, an exciting game, although I will complain, and this will be deducted from your grade. I did not see a text or a tweet of what you were eating at the Ohio State game. Obviously, we know the Buckeyes were eating humble pie.
Yeah, I did fall short on that account. I actually have a story from that game. The fact that I was slated to call it for the IE student radio station, and the machinery crapped out on us. So instead of eating, I was spending most of my time working with the machine, trying to get it working so I could broadcast what would turn out to be probably the most impressive win of the season. So I did not get to partake of the ribs, barbecue, pasta salad, and peanut butter fudge that they had there at that game. It was a serious spread. Magnificent spread.
That's the best part about going. I mean, it's nice to have the credentials and to sit up in the press box and say hi to Bill Polian every time you see him at the Notre Dame game. Well, maybe not anymore. But the food, that's the reason.
Well, you know, reasons for everybody, and I do regret not being able to shout out on those ribs. I will amend that, and if they have something good for the Michigan game or Penn State, if we end up doing that, we'll see exactly what they have to offer. Hopefully it's better than Michigan State.
Hey, all I'm saying is that if when you go to Penn State, if you don't see someone actually pour you the drink, don't drink it. All right, talk about IU's big win over Ohio State.
Okay, Gary, well, basically what we saw against Ohio State were a couple different things, because there are people wondering just how for real this IU team was after beating a young Kentucky team in its first real road test. Ohio State was actually a similar scenario. They were going through their third road game of the year. They lost to Kansas without Jared Sullinger, and they squeaked by South Carolina State, I believe. No, South Carolina. I was right the first time. They squeaked by them earlier this year with Sellinger at less than 100%. Sellinger really hasn't been the same guy since suffering the injury that held him out of the Kansas game, but he looked kind of that he returned to form a little bit in this game. He was effective, shot a bunch of free throws. But IU did a good job of getting Ohio State in trouble early. Their three main scorers, Deshaun Thomas, William Buford, and Jared Sellinger, sat out for a large portion of the first half. Thomas only played 5 or 6 minutes in the first half. Sellinger sat from the 9-minute mark, and Buford sat from the 5. So the last 5 minutes of the first half, when IU made that run back, Ohio State didn't have any scorers on the floor. That's their main problem, is that they only have three guys who can consistently score the ball. And IU did a good job taking them out of the game, and when they were in the game, they did a good job defending them, forcing them to shoot contested shots.
Well, now, Jimmy, I know we've got Jay Graves standing by as well, too, and we'll get to him here in just a moment. But one of the questions that I'm lingering about is, you know, this whole big comment controversy that was made by ESPN. And basically what was said, and I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong on who said this, but I think it was Doug Gottlieb that said, you know, basically IU is very much overrated and don't deserve to be ranked where they're at, and they need to start winning some games outside of Assembly Hall. Can you kind of tune us in on that? Obviously, IU fans are very angry about those comments, so what are you hearing on that end?
Well, it was Doug Gottlieb who made that comment. There are a bunch of IU fans who are wondering maybe if he should just, you know, go away, talk about IU basketball and his passive credit card fraud with him. I think that might be a little bit harsh for Doug Gottlieb, the former criminal at Notre Dame, but we won't dwell on that too much. I do think he has a point.
Oh, the way you wrote that in.
I definitely have to. I mean, you can't take swipes at IU and then, you know, not expect it to go unrecognized. I do think Doug Gottlieb has somewhat of a point, but he's really marrying himself to it and making too much out of it. The road wins that IU's put together so far, played against North Carolina State, who doesn't look like they're going to be a tournament team. They have the potential to be. They're talented, but they haven't really shown a lot. IU does need to show a little bit more on the road. But let's remember their one road loss to Michigan State. I think Gottlieb underplayed how well they played in that game. And Michigan State right now looks like a top 10 team that IU had the chance to beat and just wasn't able to get it done down the stretch. They lost by 15. The result was a lot closer than that. And this team's showing the mental toughness, both in home and away games, that it's going to take to win on the road.
You know what, fellas? This is Jay.
What's up, Jay?
What, Jay?
Hey. I believe that if those comments were to have come from anyone else, people would have taken it a little better. Gottlieb can many times come across the wrong way. And, you know, I think that he has, to some degree, a legitimate point. We've only played 14 games, and 10 of those ball games have been at home. We're only, you know, we're 2-1 on the road. We only played 3 games on the road. So I think it's still early, and the jury's still out. But when you talk about a program that was in the ashes just 3 years ago to be 13-1, we've got to take that all day long. I'm excited about it, and I know all the IU fans are excited about it. But you have to take what a lot of these guys say with a grain of salt, because, you know, you just keep it. You know, he's gonna hate the program just because he thinks he can do it. But I think that, you know, playing 10 ball games at home with 10-0. I mean, when was the last time we were 10-0 at home? So I think that IU is still early, but IU is a legitimate ball grade. I don't think that they're any worse than any other program that's in the top 10.
That's your question,
totally.
Jimmy.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Go ahead, Gary.
I'm giving it to you, buddy.
Oh, okay. If it's going to me, then I'll say that I totally agree with what Jay was saying here. And I'll jump in here, too, saying that, you know, I'm really, from what we've seen this year, Jay hit the nail on the head with what I was trying to say a little earlier, that when Gottlieb says that, it comes out differently because he says it so slimily and so sleazily.
Right.
And
right.
No one wants to hear exactly what it's coming out of his mouth. It kind of goes back to what we were talking about on the eve of the game in East Lansing, when we were talking about thinking IU had a chance to come out of this 1-2 and that we would all be okay with it. But So right now they're 1-1, but not the 1-1 that either any of us would have necessarily suspected, beating Ohio State. Now, I will say, too, that I think they have a chance to lose to Michigan in this upcoming game. That's not a great matchup for them. Those John Beilein teams shoot very well from the outside. And if there's anything that IU has not shown that I think they need to do a little better at, it's defending the perimeter, getting to those three-point shooters. Ohio State has no one besides William Buford, and with the possible exception of Lenzel Smith, who can shoot the three, Kentucky wasn't a good three-point shooting team either. Michigan changes that up a little bit, and I think they're going to be a much bigger challenge than people are giving them credit for.
All right, guys, 3-minute break. We'll be back. Talk Colts, Bill Polian, another version of the Mayflower truck leaving Indianapolis. Maybe not necessarily a bad thing. You're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
And you're listening to The Balance, / Gary Snyder Show on the Balance Radio Network. Talking with Jimmy the Intern and Jay Graves of the jgravesreport.com. Quite simply about IU, we're going to get into some Colt talk here right after the break. And I hope I didn't just hear Gary insinuate that the Indianapolis Colts are on their way out of town. I hope that's not what he meant by that, because I'm going to tell you what, that is not a rumor that needs to get started. The Indianapolis Colts are going to stay right here in Indianapolis. They're going to hire a new general manager, possibly a new coach. It looks like, though, that he has survived that. And you know what? You know, my props off to Bill Polian. I think that you know, he accomplished a lot with the Indianapolis Colts. He's definitely a true Hall of Fame quarterback, Hall of Fame manager and general manager. Because here's the thing: nobody can last in today's NFL as long as Bill Polian has. And you got to remember, a lot of you guys may not want to admit this or not, but way back in the day when we brought Peyton Manning, all of you guys were grabbing pitchforks and torches and headed to West 56th Street because somebody didn't draft Ryan Leaf. Where would you guys have been now if Bill Polian had listened to you then? But bottom line is, he's wore out his welcome. And you know, I think there was a lot of dissension in the ranks there. And, you know, quite frankly, after a 2-13 or whatever season, somebody had to pay the piper. And I just think that really what was said about Jim Caldwell was what was not said about Bill Polian. And I just think that Jim Caldwell's given a pass. And I think really a lot of this has to deal with young Polian. I mean, if you notice, Chris's name was not mentioned one time in that news conference. So very, very interesting to me on why that was, and you can certainly read into that however which way that you want. Obviously, a lot of people are talking about names like Jeff Fisher. He's not going to come to Indianapolis, not in my opinion, not at all. And I tell you why that is. I think St. Louis is making a very attractive offer to him, dark dome and all. And I think that he'll get scooped up before Jim Irsay's ready to make a decision on a general manager. And quite frankly, I think he's already got that person in mind. Now, if you remember yesterday, we talked with Ed Kratz from the Philadelphia Inquirer yesterday afternoon. And, you know, basically what he was telling us is, you know, he's not certain of Reed's future there with the Philadelphia Eagles. And what I would say and what I would venture to say is this decision on Caldwell and the new general manager is going to be Jim Irsay and Jim Irsay's alone. If Reed comes available, yeah, that might open up and say, Caldwell, it's been great. We're going to have to move in another direction, because that's exactly what happened with Tony Dungy. Jim Irsay said, I want him, Bucks let him go, and Tony Dungy scooped him up while the scooping was good. So I could see situations like that panning out. But for now, honestly, if you were to ask me what's going to happen with Jim Caldwell, I think he's going to stay around, and I think that when they bring in the new general manager, he's going to say, hey, Caldwell's my guy for now, okay? Now, a lot of people are, and I know Jay Graves is one of those. And I think we got to go back with 1400 WVAT and Marion now.
Yeah, check your text, buddy.
Hey, you said 3 minutes. I was watching my clock at 3 minutes, and I still had about 45 seconds left. All right, my bad.
Hey, that's all right. We got some insight that maybe we didn't get before, but you missed my bumper song, so here it is. George and the boys breaking the news about the Pullian's demise in Indianapolis. It's been a great 14 years, but is it the right move, Tom?
You know what? I think it's time. I think the move is, and as we talked about here on the show yesterday, I think it was a hard decision for him to make. And you got to remember, Jim Irsay is one of the most loyal owners out there when it comes to NFL owners. I mean, for God's sake, he gave a Super Bowl ring to Edgerrin James, who played for a different team at the time. He's very, very loyal. But I think that there was, like I was saying during the break, that there was just a lot of dissension in the ranks. And I think that Bill Pullian had to chop it off at the head and you know, kind of move forward from there. And Gary, you and I talked about quite often on this show here that Jim Caldwell would get fired, and I said I don't really think so, not at this time. And I know, Jay, you were talking about this in quite extent yesterday, so I'm gonna yield my time to you, sir.
Well, yeah, I think that, like you said, it was time simply because he was buying the groceries. We talked about that yesterday. When I can actually see Jim Irsay in the background for the last 6 or 7 years saying, "This better work. This better work. I'm gonna let you do what you want to do, but this better work," because there wasn't a contingency plan, as we talked about on yesterday, and not having a contingency plan, and then all of a sudden, when the brain's not on the field, everything goes downhill. And so I think it was at this point the rubber hit the road, and it was just that time. I don't believe that Caldwell was at fault, because Caldwell was actually operating under the restraints of Pullian. I mean, I asked this question, and I've never seen this anywhere else in any other market. Where else do you have the vice chairman has a TV show every week and the coach doesn't?
No, I agree with you.
Yeah, awkward silence. I don't know. I can't say that I've heard it. Jim, you want to chime in on this?
I've never seen it anywhere.
And, you know, and that's a very good point that you make Jay, because every coach has a coach's show. Every team has a coach's show. I know $2 Bill Josh is with us as well. Josh, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I have to say I agree with Jay. It is a bit unusual that Bill Pullian has his show and not Coach Caldwell. Well, I guess Bill Pullian did have his show, but that is a bit odd.
And I'm going to go a little bit further, and you guys may disagree. I don't think Caldwell is completely safe, simply for the fact they're going to bring in a new GM, and they're going to go in the direction that GM wants to go.
Exactly.
Caldwell may not be part of the equation there. And to say that he is not on the firing line anymore, I think, is a bit premature.
You're exactly right.
Now, you're right, Gary, to a degree. I think for right now, here's why I think that, and going back to what I was saying a while ago, I think that Jim Irsay is a very, very loyal guy. And I don't think, because outside of business, these guys are all friends. That's not going to change. Bill Pullian's going to be very good friends with Jim Irsay. We heard Rich and I say he even thought that Irsay had a few tears swelling up, and I don't mean that in a joking way. He was very, very attached to Bill Pullian, and they're very good friends. And also, obviously, as long as Jim Caldwell has been there, and as tight-knit community as the Indianapolis Colts are, I'm sure that Irsay is also attached to Jim Caldwell. So that said, I don't think, and maybe I could be wrong, I could be way off base on this, but I don't think that Jim Irsay would let Jim Caldwell dangle in the wind, not knowing what's going on, and saying, and maybe tell him, hey, if you want to talk to some other teams, I'm okay with that. He's not telling Jim Caldwell that. Here's what I'm saying. Jim Caldwell is hanging on by a very, very thin, thin string. And that said, is when the new general manager comes in, Jay's right. You know, hey, it's your job, your decision to make. But here's the deal. I want him in place for now. But if we don't win, or if Manning goes somewhere else, hey, it is business. And like I said, there is that possibility that Andy Reid might come available. And so I don't know what your thoughts on that, but just like Tony Dungy came available at the last minute, we scooped up Tony Dungy. Andy Reid would be a great fit here in Indianapolis.
I don't think you go into this hiring a GM, telling the GM that he's not going to be able to make the coaching decision on whether who is the coach of the team that he is responsible for. Go ahead, Jay.
I think that you're exactly right, Gary. If when the new GM comes in, it's going to be his decision to either keep him or let him go. We've seen around the league where those type of situations happen. It's a problem. You remember just a few years ago when Jerry Jones hired his offensive coordinator in Garrett before he even hired Wade Phillips. You know, you can't have someone in place and then have his supervisor come in afterwards. So I just think that once the GM is hired, then they're going to make a decision as to whether they're going to go in that direction.
Now, Josh, I know that you were talking a little bit to me this morning about Jim Caldwell going. What are your thoughts on what Jay and Gary saying, Josh?
I would have to say I agree with Gary. And here's one reason why. If Jim Irsay really wanted Coach Caldwell to stay, he'd have said so at the press conference. He'd have said he's unfireable. He didn't say that. He said the new GM can make that call. Whereas you're implying that you believe Irsay's saying Caldwell can't be fired. If that's so, why did he just say you're not firing Caldwell?
Right.
Well, and here's what I think. I think that basically for right now, that could change in a relatively short period of time. But I think that I just believe that if Caldwell was going to get fired, he would have done it. Why let the new general manager fire the coach? Why not fire the coach and the general manager all at one time and hire your general manager and let the general manager hire the new coach?
All right, guys, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, Brogdon will, I imagine, talk a little politics, probably continue the Colts conversation. You're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
And you're listening to the Balance Radio Network. We'll try to keep track of our clock this time. But in all fairness, guys, that's the first time I've ever missed the clock. Gary has missed it a few times. I'm just saying, you know. So we'll go ahead. I do have a tendency to talk too much. Just ask my wife. But we'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
And we go a little something like this. Hit it.
high things. Come on. Cold, cool, and at a bar. And I'm looking for some action. But like Mick Jagger said, I can't get no satisfaction. The girls are all around, but none of them want to get with me. My threads are fresh, and I'm looking deaf. Yo, what's up with L.O.C.? The girls are all jocking at the other end of the bar. Having drinks with some no-name chump when they know that I'm a star. So I got them, the show's over, to the other side of the cantina. I asked the guy, why you so fly? He said, Funky Cole Medina.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. March, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
And job-ready skills. Enroll today at harrison.edu. Harrison College. Career-focused, success-driven.
Indianapolis, Super Bowl 46 is coming to town. So come take the field of the NFL experience presented by GMC, the NFL's interactive theme park. Kick the game-winning field goal and shop NFL Shop for the latest Super Bowl merchandise. NFL Experience presented by GMC at the Indiana Convention Center January 27th through February 4th. Get your tickets early for opening weekend by calling 1-866-PIX-4NFL or log on to SuperBowl.com. This is your Super Bowl. The NFL prefers Visa, the official card of the NFL.
This is the Gary Snyder Show, and I am Andrew Breitbart, sort of the king of all media.
Back here on the Gary Snyder Show. Everybody, welcome back. We're joined, I think, going out on a limb here, first of all, by Tom Marquis. Tom, say hi.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Balanced Radio Network.
Also, Jay Grays of the Jay Grays Report. Jay, say hi.
Hello, I'm still here.
Jimmy Cavanaugh, the official IU Sports intern for the Gary Snyder Show. Jimmy.
Hey, fellas.
I think he was sleeping. I think I woke him up. And also, Brodigan, John Brodigan, with his segment, Brodigan. John, welcome.
Can't go wrong with the band.
Hey, yeah.
You know, and I searched. I wanted to be called the show so bad, or the radio show, but everything was taken. I mean, seriously, how cool would that be? That'd be like having your name, your blog name named The Blog.
I mean, well, I am actually thinking of changing the name of my blog to the John Brodigan Survival Report.
You know, I'll tell you what's really cool, and here's the political moment self-indulgence of the day. I interviewed Gary Johnson, I believe it was last week, maybe the week before, but he put it up on his – he put a link up to the interview to my website on his Facebook page. And, you know, even a low-running libertarian candidate like Gary Johnson, you would just not – I was just amazed at the amount of traffic that is coming to the website just because he put it up.
And actually, I mean, it's a little thing, but it also makes you feel cool also. Because I just interviewed this 24-year-old in California named Ricky Gill, who's running for Congress. Everyone's like, he's the one to watch. He's a new Republican rock star. He's been endorsed by Jeb Bush and Nikki Haley. And the campaign had actually reached out because when I put the interview on YouTube, they want a link because they want to link it to the website. It's like, I'm just some jackass in his basement.
And it does, because I'm just amazed at the traffic. And, I mean, we're talking over the weekend – over 10,000 unique visits to my site just from Gary Johnson. I can imagine if a real candidate did that.
Yeah. Gary, only in America can people like you and I reach the moderate level of success that we have.
I strive for mediocrity.
God bless the American dream.
We're talking a little bit of Colts here before we move into Brodigan. Any comments on any of the football games, bowl games over the weekend, John, that you would like? I know the Giants got a big win over the Cowboys. The Jets didn't get a big win over the Dolphins.
Like I said, my loyalty is to my fantasy team, and Victor Cruz was easily my MVP off the waiver wire pickup this year. But I'm watching the Giants and Cowboys game, and the Cowboys have had a very good team for the entire year. And I can never understand how, all right, you're all professionals, you're a great team, you gel, it's do or die, to actually go out there and choke as badly as they did. I don't understand how teams do that. I mean, one of the teams has to lose. I mean, the last time the Giants and the Cowboys played, I mean, the score was down to 3 points. It was a complete shootout. It was a great game, but they both played to win. And here it is. I mean, it's this one game is a difference between the playoffs and golf, and yet it's like they already started playing golf before the game started.
I don't know who we're going to on that one, so I was just awkward radio silence. We call that dead air, and that's never a good thing. I actually think we lost Gary. I don't know how that happened, but we'll get him right back on here in just a second here. But we're also, John, we're also talking to Jay Graves at jaygravesreport.com and our official intern, Jimmy the intern. Guys, you have anything for John while I try to get Gary back on the air? I was wondering why I got so quiet all of a sudden.
Well, I'm still hanging around, Tom, so at least you've got us.
Now, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 6%.
All right, I think we do have Gary back, guys. This is the Balance Radio Network. We're going to team back up with 1400 WBAT.
Bro, that's 1-800-784-8930. Call 1-800-784-8930.
Hey, guys, this is Tony Kanaan, and you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show, the best in town.
Here on the Gary Snyder Show. Welcome back. Hopefully we have Tom and everyone back. Tom, are you there?
We are all here, sir, waiting on you.
Is that the story of your life?
Something.
All right. Now we're talking, we were last, before we were interrupted, I believe, we were talking with... Now, I think, is that Jay that has to leave? Jay, are you leaving us?
Yeah, I got to take off. That's Jay.
Hey, Jay, thanks for joining us. Go pick up your kids, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Hey, appreciate it. Take care now.
I think politics scares him a little, especially mine.
Your politics.
Then again, who doesn't it scare?
It scares a lot of people. I know that.
Yeah, he was talking a little football, and John was going on about Victor Cruz. You know, they need to give that boy a big raise because he is the reason the Giants are in the playoffs. He has been a beast coming down the stretch here,
John. He's the reason I was in the playoffs. I mean, you know, never mind the fact they did have Aaron Rodgers my quarterback. Victor Cruz is the reason why I made my playoffs.
Tom?
Well, I can tell you one thing. I came in, I won the consolation ladder in my playoffs. I didn't have Victor Cruz at all. But Victor Cruz had a great year. I mean, really. But none of my guys in either one of my leagues that won or went deep in the playoffs said Victor Cruz. So, hey, you know, my hat's off to you.
Mm.
I wouldn't have drafted him, though.
I mean,
now that we got rid of all the sports people, we can talk a little more politics. The Gary Snyder Show caucuses are tonight, John. Any bold predictions?
Nothing bold. I think we're looking at Romney Paul. The top three is going to be any combination of Romney, Paul, and Santorum. 4, 5, and 6 are going to be Gingrich, Perry, and Bachman. Other than that, I got to be perfectly honest with you, I'm done. I mean, I'm still a Newt guy until he's in the race, and I'm sure he's going to stick around to at least Florida. But if Romney won tonight and won New Hampshire, which will be the first time anyone's done that in the history of ever, I got a buddy of mine running for assembly here in New York. He's got a fundraiser on Saturday. I'm ready to start focusing on other races just because I am spent. And I didn't even do anything.
One thing that I'm looking forward to, and Newt's kind of mad right now. He's pissed and he's not going to take it anymore. And he's going to start unleashing here, especially in some of these debates. We have 6 debates coming up in January alone. And once you get south of the Mason-Dixon line, I don't think Romney does as well. And my guess is if Newt is going to go down and he is going to crash and burn at some point, he's going to do his best to take Romney with him, and I look forward to that.
You know what it is? I agree with you about going south of the Mason-Dixon line, but I also think that if Romney wins Iowa and New Hampshire, I would be shocked if South Carolina didn't say, like, all right, listen, enough. Let's just vote for Romney and get this over with. But, yeah, I mean, if Santorum wins Iowa, Romney's going to take New Hampshire, South Carolina is a toss-up, then Florida becomes the most important state.
Well, one of the big things that you've got to look at, obviously, is that there's never been a candidate to go to the White House on a GOP side that didn't win South Carolina.
No.
And there's never been a GOP nomination that strictly won Iowa. So here's the thing. Iowa, I think, right now is a good test market. It's letting us see where everybody's at, poll-wise, if you believe in polls. But I don't really believe in polls. Santorum is doing a great job in Iowa, and he will do good in the South. He'll do very good in the South. In fact, he'll probably make somebody a great running mate. But my problem is where America is as a society, and that's we're at a moderate society. We don't want to make anybody mad because we want to make everybody happy. So we're going to walk this tightrope like a circus act, and we don't want to go too far one way or too far the other way. We just want to stay in the middle here. We're that way we don't make anybody mad. Can't do that in America.
Well, see, but I mean, this is essentially the problem that I've had with the candidates. Because, I mean, I understand, guys like Romney, where, they don't want to go too far away from Obama just to be, like, slightly better. The problem is that we need to find more conservative candidates, and this goes across the board, Senate, Congress, what have you, just conservative leaders, who are able to articulate why the conservative view is what's right for America, but do it without the fire and brimstone that scares away independent voters. I mean, we need more Paul Ryans. We need more Mitch Danielses. We need more Mitch Danielses that'll tell his wife, be quiet, I'm running for president.
You got to look. There's fiscal conservatives and there's social conservatives. The social conservatives scare me. When any candidate starts out preaching scripture to me, A, or B, the first words out of his mouth are that gays don't deserve some kind of equal right under the law. They lose me right away.
Right.
Well, and here's the thing, and maybe I'm going to be considered a right-wing wacko on this, but the way I look at things is when we look at our money, under God we trust, and we look at the way our forefathers founded our nation, freedom of religion, but it all based under one thing, we believe in the Bible, okay? Using this as a very extreme view, how come a Satan worshiper couldn't get elected president?
Well, I don't know. I'm not saying I don't want someone that has some kind of faith in the White House. That's not what I'm saying. I just don't want you preaching it to me, trying to get my vote.
Well, and here's the thing. We know as well as all of us know that the Republican base
largely is of Christian faith. And we believe, we don't believe in abortion, and we believe that marriage should be between a man and a woman, not between a man and a man, and not between a girl and a girl, although that is pretty hot.
But also the thing is, I mean, as far as, like, you know, preaching about it, people also have to learn the difference between preaching and talking. It's like with Tim Tebow. You have people complaining like, oh, well, he's forcing his religion down our throats because I don't want to have to see him praying during a football game. And it's like, okay, never mind the fact that that's not him, that's the cameraman who put the camera on him. All because someone talks about religion or openly admits that they're a Christian, that's not shoving their religion down your throat. And unfortunately, too many people on the left don't seem to know the difference.
Well, and I don't have a problem with that. But when I turn on the TV and I hear Rick Perry, his first 5 minutes of a speech or a question answer is quoting scripture, I turn it off. When I hear Michelle Bachmann calling homosexuals, you know, all kinds of different names, I turn it off. To me, that
right.
does not represent what this country is about.
Right.
Equal treatment under the law for
everyone.
And
they're also 5 and 4
and, you know, call me crazy. But I think that's where most people stand these days. And when you get these social conservatives out there that you're getting with the Santorums and the Bachmans and the Perrys, I think that's when people start looking to people like Paul Ryan or Governor Daniels or Mitt Romney, and you can go on down the line.
But in all honesty, a lot of that is the media purposely wanting to focus people like Perry and Bachman just because they want to paint all Republicans with the same brush, because there's no reason why two candidates who are currently polling in single digits in the polls should be getting as much attention as they get, except for the fact they fulfill the media stereotype of conservatives.
But I don't have a problem with conservatives that are open to equal treatment under the law. Where I have a problem is when you have these candidates out there basically railing against what someone does in their bedroom.
Right.
And whether, you know, I don't want that in my president.
Right. And for the most part, those candidates are barely get past single digit in the polls.
So what you're saying is,
I can live with that. And you know, if you know Mitt Romney or Ron Paul or someone that comes out of this primary process and maybe does not believe that or spews it from the stump, I'm more than willing to listen to him.
But my thing is, I would actually prefer someone like a Rick Santorum, who, fine, I might disagree with him, but he's at least honest about how he stands and he's not afraid to talk about it, as opposed to a Mitt Romney who will just stand there with his finger in the air.
So you don't really think that Mitt Romney, being a Mormon, who would be against same-sex marriages, there's no issue with that at all?
First of all, I don't have a problem with him being a Mormon. The fact that someone's religion – I don't have a problem with someone's religion when they are running for president. I really don't. And the fact that, you know, he has a history of not discriminating against people, whether it's because of their sexuality or whatever, I don't – you know, I find that more than admirable.
Except for the fact he – talks about all the time about he opposes same-sex marriage and thinks it should be a constitutional amendment.
You know, but, you know, he says that, and kind of like what you went back to, you know, he may say that, but that's not what he's been for in the past.
Romney is not my guy.
But he is not out there in the forefront leading that fight over this, like some of the other candidates that, again, are polling way down there.
Well, one thing that worries me about Mitt is the fact that he does ride that middle of the aisle too much. And I'm afraid that if it comes close time for him to appoint a a Supreme Court justice, he's proven in Massachusetts he has no problem putting the Democrats up there. I really don't want a Democrat being a Supreme Court justice, especially when we're looking at decisions like Roe versus Wade.
Well, that's also the problem. I mean, if Romney's going to get the nomination, we have to make sure we Republicans control the Senate.
You know, if I probably had to vote right now, Huntsman would probably be my guy. But my guess is, come next Wednesday, he's not going to be in it any longer.
And, you know, he's got no one to blame but himself.
I'm not making excuses for him.
No, but I'm actually disappointed because, in all honesty, John Huntsman is more accurate, at least where I am politically. And I really wanted him to do well, but he decided that instead of running on his conservative record, which is actually very conservative, in a Republican primary, he was going to be the candidate that says, "Hey, look at me, I'm in Vanity Fair, and the media loves me, I'm so moderate." And quite frankly, this would be the same thing in a Democrat primary. You have to run to your audience. I mean, I'm not saying he's got to rail on social issues and pander to that, but to go out of your way to stick a thumb in the eye of the people who are going to vote for you, and instead of talking about your conservative pro-life record, and instead of talking about your very conservative fiscal plan, and instead of talking about how you've taken conservative fiscal policies and turned them into results when you were the chief executive of a state, you want to talk about Rick Perry made said something about evolution and global warming, and that's going to be my campaign for 2 weeks.
Well, here's the biggest thing, and I really, really believe – I like Newt a lot, but I think that he's shot his own self in his foot. And, I like the dark horse. I like what Santorum's been able to do, and I think he'll do well in the South. Here's the thing with the Republican Party. I think the Republican Party has got so worried about beating Obama that they're losing sight of what it means to be a Republican. Or maybe they want Romney to be president because they feel like that if they can put somebody out there like Romney, they can focus on the House and the Senate. And maybe the GOP as a whole really doesn't care about the presidency, which is sad in my eyes.
And I can tell you, I've talked with Pete C., and I interview a lot of politicos on this show, and especially Pete C., and he is the director of communications for the Indiana State Republican Party. And while this guy has not come out and endorsed Mitt Romney, one thing that always comes up in our conversation is electability and Mitt Romney. And I can tell you that's where the establishment wants us to go.
I agree with electability, but when the person doesn't stand for anything, it's a hard pill to swallow. Because otherwise, then what's the point of having beliefs in the first place if the only thing you care about is electing someone that has the same letter after their name just because they say they could win?
All right, real quick, guys. I need first of all to wish my wife Pepper a happy birthday. I'm not going to give her age. But we'll just say she is my trophy wife. It is her birthday today, so happy birthday to her. She's put up with me for 16 years. Whereas, I had the city of Huntington ready to throw me out after 6 months. So, again, I want to wish my wife, Pepper, a happy birthday today. John, real quick, where can people find your work?
JohnBrodigan.com, Twitter.com/Brodigan, and happy birthday, Mrs. Snyder.
Your turn, Tom.
And I also wish a happy birthday to Pepper Snyder as well. www.thebalanceonline.com, Twitter, TBalance, or on Facebook, The Balance, Balance Radio Network. Stick around for hour number two as heard on 1400 WBAT.
And it is uploaded. Want to thank all of our guests today. Give me a minute, and I'll tell you who they were, starting, of course, with Pete C. We also had Abby Phillip from Politico.com, Brian Howie, publisher of HowiePolitics.com, giving us an update on the State House, Jay Graves of the Jay Graves Report, Jimmy Cavanaugh, the official IU Sports intern of the Gary Snyder Show, John Brodigan, and Tom Marquis. You've been listening to the Gary Snyder Show.
And this is The Balance / Gary Snyder Show on the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Marquis. So glad that you could join us. We didn't have time to get everything that we wanted to talk about today, but I think that we did touch on the highlights. Obviously, Bill Napoleon is out, along with his son Chris from the Indianapolis Colts. The search continues and probably will continue for the next several days, months, weeks, and maybe even a month or so before we know who will be the next general manager. And there again, we talk about, does the current coaching situation stay intact? For the moment, I think that Jim Caldwell keeps his job. Well, we'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network, and we'll replay our number two as heard on 1400 WBHE, and I'll join in about 30 minutes with the conversation with Brian Howie, and you'd be surprised about what's going on at the State House.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today. And welcome back to the Balance / Gary Snyder Show. We are trying like heck to get the Gary Snyder Show loaded from hour number two.
of today's show, and now we have it.
This is Fred Thompson, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
Bobo Mansion on the hillside. Red sports car comes driving down the road. Jump pulls up into the driveway. And those story does unfold. She's standing by the road of Denver. Well, the roses are in bloom.
All right, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show. It is caucus day here on the Gary Snyder Show. We're talking almost nothing but politics today, maybe a little sports at the end. But before we get to our next guest, Barry Bunker Chevrolet, they are your hometown Chevy and used car dealer. Whether you're looking for that new Chevy or that perfect used vehicle, Barry Bunker Chevrolet has the car, truck, you're looking for at the price no one will beat. And when I say no one, what do I really mean? Exactly, no one. With their amazing inventory and deals to move that inventory, Barry Bunker Chevrolet is your one stop for Marion, Huntington, and the surrounding area for that new Chevy or used vehicle. Now let's talk service. Keeping your GM vehicle running at its best shouldn't be complicated, and there shouldn't be any guesswork involved. Let Barry Bunker Chevrolet certified service technicians make maintenance simple for you. They are your one-stop shop for all of your maintenance and service needs. So here's what you need to do. Give Barry a call, 866-466-1900. 56. You can visit them at barrybunker.com or just head on over to their store at 1307 North Wabash Avenue in Marion and experience the Barry Bunker Chevrolet difference. And of course, I should not have to say this because you all know it, but here it goes anyway. The name that is on the door is always on the showroom floor, Barry Bunker Chevrolet. All right, she usually joins us on Mondays, but hey, I was at home sick yesterday, and no one was here anyway. So here she is, Abby Phillips. She covers money and politics for Politico.com. Abby, welcome to the show.
Hi, happy Tuesday.
Isn't it, though? I mean, really, when you take a look at it, isn't it a happy Tuesday?
It really is. It's Iowa caucus day. What more could you possibly ask for?
Let me ask you this, because you cover politics, you must enjoy it. How pumped are you about the next 11 months?
Today feels like the first day of the rest of your life, right? It's sort of the beginning of the next sort of 9 months of chaos and craziness. And I think a lot of political reporters are sort of just ready for this thing to kind of start ready for things to start really happening. This is when you're going to sort of decide who is not it, and that's going to lead us to some other contests who might get us closer to a nominee, and that's pretty exciting. It's also pretty exciting to see, I think this caucus is going to be very fluid. It's going to be close. It's going to be, something to watch until the very, very end, because I don't think that you're going to have sort of, a landslide winner out of this thing. And so it's going to be really interesting to see what happens and how that affects, the candidates going into the next contest in New Hampshire.
Now, as someone who lives in Indiana, I've always been offended by the fact that Iowa, made up mostly of evangelical Christian voters, gets the first shot of it and takes away candidates that maybe I would have liked simply because they weren't evangelical enough. Then we go to New Hampshire and then South Carolina, where again, two-thirds of the Republican voters there consider themselves evangelical. So as a Hoosier, I'm kind of offended because you know, by the time it gets around to me, all that's left is basically what the evangelicals wanted. Do you see it any differently this time around?
It's a little bit different because if you look at what's happening now, you know, it seems actually as if Mitt Romney is doing fine, and he's actually been in the last couple of days moving upwards in the polls. And, you know, the top two slots might end up going to two people who are not necessarily the favorites of the evangelical voters. You know, of course, Rick Santorum is benefiting from evangelical voters. But I think that, you know, what we're seeing in Iowa is really about a little bit more about, you know, who these voters think is, you know, the most electable, a combination of the most electable and, you know, the most conservative, and that's creating some complicated results. But I think it's not turning out to be one of those clear-cut, you know, evangelical favorite wins Iowa kinds of situations. And, you know, I think everyone wants to be first, but certainly, you know, Iowa is not going to determine this contest, but it will sort of help narrow down the field, and I think that's how you can interpret what happens tonight.
I find it funny right now because the anti-Ron Paul people, which seems to be everybody in the Republican field except Ron Paul, are sitting there whining and crying about, well, hey, independents and Democrats are going to come and vote for him. They're going to, you know, taint, if you will, our caucus. Do they not remember 4 years ago in the Democratic primaries?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to hear a lot of that tonight. People are going to be looking really closely at what happens with, you know, who turns out, whether there are a lot of Democrats showing up and changing their registrations in order to vote for Ron Paul. You know, I mean, Ron Paul is going to benefit if, you know, people are really excited and they show up for him. He's going to really benefit from that. I think it's very real that, you know, a lot of his support can come from these self-identified independent voters who are, you know, who are Democrats but change their registration, or, you know, people who are independents and maybe are not necessarily, you know, registered Republicans. And it's sort of the reality of the way that these caucuses work. But I think that it's certainly a reflection of his appeal among the broader electorate, that it's not just, you know, conservative Republicans who like him, but some very pragmatic independents and even some pragmatic Democrats who also like him.
You know, we just had Pete Seed on. He's a former White House spokesman and current communications director for the Indiana State Republican Party. You know, he says what this is going to end up coming down to, if not in Iowa or not in New Hampshire or not in South Carolina, but inevitably it comes down to electability. And right now, you know, he seems to think that is Mitt Romney.
Yeah, and I think ultimately that's why you'll see a lot of the coverage seeming to focus on him, and I think that's about right, that, you know, Romney's had a lot of momentum, and I think that part of that is the electability question, that over the last couple of days there have been lots of questions raised about Ron Paul, about his past, about what he really believes, and that scrutiny has, you know, sort of dampened his support. At the same time, you know, Romney has benefited from just being the kind of steady candidate who's out there, you know, showing people, you know, day in and day out that, you know, he's kind of the guy you can depend on. And ultimately, you know, if he wins this thing, it'll be close, but it'll most likely be because that argument has worked with, you know, Iowa voters. And that will only give him momentum in a state like New Hampshire, where even more so those voters want to know that, you know, that Romney can win.
Does New Hampshire even count anymore since, you know, it's pretty much Romney's home away from home?
Yeah, I think it does count, though, because, you know, he has put in work for that state. It hasn't been a foregone conclusion for him, and that's because those voters are actually kind of wary of him. So, you know, I think it'll be important for him to win that state because it'll you know, demonstrate that, you know, he's organized enough, that he's been able to close the deal with them. And certainly if he doesn't perform well, which, you know, I don't know if there's real expectation that that would happen, but if he doesn't perform well, it would reflect very poorly on him.
Abby, can you hold through a quick break?
You sure can.
You're listening to The Gary Snyder Show. 21st Century Firearms. They're at 827 North Main Street in Bluffton, and they are your one stop for firearms, ammunition, and reloading supplies. Stop in and talk to their friendly staff with years of experience in hunting, the shooting sports, and military-style firearms. They carry a big selection of modern sporting firearms, handguns, and shotguns with one of the biggest inventories around at the best prices, period. They also deal in NFA items such as silencers, short-barreled rifles, and yes, you can even buy a machine gun from 21st Century Firearms. Check them out online, 21stcenturyfirearms.com, or you can shop them online at shop.21stcenturyfirearms.com. Store hours are 10 to 6 Monday through Friday. Saturdays are open from 9 to 4. Any questions, give them a call, 260-824-5530.
This is Governor Jesse Ventura, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
There's a darkness upon me that's flooded in light. In the fine print that tell me what's wrong and what's right. And it comes in black and it comes in white, and I'm frightened by those who don't see it. Where nothing is owed, deserved, or expected. And your life doesn't change by the man that's elected. If you're loved by someone, you're never rejected. Decide what to be and go be it.
All right, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show. We're speaking with Abby Phillip. We'll get back to her here in just 1 second. But Freightco, they are a leading freight company in Northeast Indiana, and they are growing, and they want you. That's right. Freightco is looking for owner-operators who want miles and home time. If this sounds like you, then listen up. Freightco offers a 92-cent CPM plus, that's in addition to, for some of you out there, competitive FSC, and that's on all dispatches. Freightco drivers average 2,500 plus miles a week and are home on the weekends. Freightco offers consistent lanes with many being drop and hook, so if you're looking for a company that puts employees and customers first, or you just want more information on what Freightco has to offer, give Ray a call, 866-397-2581, or you can visit them on the web at freightco.org. Freightco, they are a freight moving company. All right, Abby, one of the things that I'm watching, is not necessarily the results tonight, I think we have a pretty good indication of how this is going to finish, probably close to a three-way tie between Santorum, Romney, and Paul. But there is a storm brewing, and that storm is called Newt Gingrich, and he is about ready to unleash his fury, if you will, on Mitt Romney. How much are you really looking forward to that?
Well, you know, it remains to be seen, you know, what Newt Gingrich is going to do next to sort of get back what he's lost over the last couple of days. You know, if he doesn't finish in the top three, it really raises the question of whether he's going to be relevant going forward, whether he can really make a case for himself. And I think if he decides to go very negative, one of the things that you can count on is that hurting him, because it almost always does. I think that for sure he, you know, if he runs the risk of sort of increasing his negative ratings, which for him is not going to be a good thing, but it might be a good Hail Mary pass if he, you know, what he's trying to do is to, you know, compete in some of the later states.
You know, the way I look at it, if Newt is blaming Mitt, if you will, for his downfall with all the negative ads running, even though Ron Paul has probably played a good part in it too. But, you know, do you see Newt saying, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to take Mitt with me?
Yeah, I can see that being definitely being an argument. You know, I mean, it's one of those things. He was, of all the negative advertising out there, so much of it, most of it, was directed at Newt Gingrich. And so, you know, he's in a position where he kind of needs to fire back. But like I said, you know, candidates with very high unfavorables run a really dangerous risk of getting blamed for just being too negative. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, it's kind of beneficial to the candidates to have a lot of these negative attacks coming from these third-party super PACs, like these outside groups, because they don't have to take credit for them, and they don't necessarily get blamed for them, although some people will sort of debate whether that's actually true. But the argument, you know, is that if they're not actually running those ads and someone else is doing it on their behalf, they won't kind of get stuck with the negative rap of having to go negative on their opponents. And I think that you've seen a lot of that in this contest so far.
Does it really matter? I mean, the super PACs, yeah, they spend a lot of money, but does it really matter that they supposedly aren't being run by the campaigns? Because when I hear one of the super PAC ads, I automatically associate it with a campaign.
Well, no. I honestly, I don't think it matters at all, because if you're a voter in Iowa and you're sitting in front of your television and you're seeing an ad that's in favor of, you know, Mitt Romney and opposing Newt Gingrich, you're just going to associate that with the candidate that ad favors. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that that's the case. Not only, and in addition to that, some of these groups are being run by former, you know, campaign spokesmen and that sort of thing. I think that there is this risk, however, that, you know, if the campaign strategy is not necessarily to do one thing, to not necessarily to go negative on an opponent, for, you know, for fear of sort of poisoning the voting population, super PACs can theoretically run afoul of that. I think so far you haven't really seen that matter as much, because it's been such, you know, kind of like a dirty game with just people throwing things at each other, you know, everywhere you turn. But, you know, as the campaign winnows down and as people, voters start to really focus on what's going on, candidates have to be really careful about, you know, what's being said in their name and what's being said on their behalf. So I think later on you might see this becoming more and more of a problem. But at the moment, you know, it really doesn't matter. These outside groups are acting, you know, as surrogates for the campaigns themselves and are capable of doing a lot more with unlimited resources, basically.
Do you see any surprises tonight? I know we expect Ron Paul to do well. I know we expect Mitt Romney to be up there. And Santorum seems to have become the flavor of the month right at the right time, peaking right at the right time. But do you expect anything tonight, maybe from Gingrich or Bachman or Perry?
You know, frankly, I don't necessarily expect any huge surprises. I mean, if someone like Gingrich manages to kind of inch in close to, let's say, a Santorum, for example, you know, that might end up being, you know, good ammunition for his camp to kind of spin perhaps a fourth place finish into something more meaningful than what it is. But, you know, if the lower three candidates share something around 10% of the vote, I think that's going to be not much of a surprise, and it's going to ultimately hurt them and disqualify some of them for the rest of the race. But, you know, the question is going to be, where does Mitt Romney finish in this top three scrum that we're kind of seeing emerge here? And also, where does Rick Santorum finish? You know, if he gets a second place, that would be, you know, pretty surprising, and that would give him quite a bit of momentum going into either New Hampshire or South Carolina.
You know, one thing that I've noticed, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, and I have been a couple times in my life, but when you take a look at Romney outside of New Hampshire, he seems to be stuck in a lot of these polls around that 25% range, and really his floor also seems to be a ceiling. Would you be worried about that if you were in the Romney camp?
Yeah, I think ultimately he needs to kind of inch that number up closer to 30. You know, I think that's generally what people believe because, you know, if he can't, this lower 20 range that he seems to kind of be stuck in, it sort of signals that he's not really securing the vote at this stage, and he needs to start doing that, especially in a place like New Hampshire. So, you know, but then again, he's also benefiting from the vote just being split between between candidates who kind of share support bases. And you know, as long as that's the case, you know, Romney is going to benefit. But I think eventually, yeah, he will need to kind of get up in the 30s. I think his campaign recognizes that it's a little bit of a tough sell, that for some voters, you know, Romney's likability factor isn't super high. They're hoping for, you know, this electability factor being much more important in states like New Hampshire, and I think that'll be a critical test for that.
Now, I asked Pete Seat this, so I'll ask you this too. If we have a couple of the conservative, social conservative event, whatever you want to put it, drop out of the race, and we get past Iowa and New Hampshire and start hitting some of these southern primaries, could things completely turn around here?
It depends on whether there's someone like Santorum competing in South Carolina still. You know, I think that's where he has a good shot of having of competing strongly. And you know, even someone like Gingrich could compete strongly in South Carolina. But then again, you know, Romney was sort of lucky enough to get the support of the governor in that state. You know, which will go some way. It won't go everywhere, but it'll go some way in South Carolina. And I think it's just going to depend on whether some of these people like Santorum and Gingrich in particular go into those states with a lot of support and a lot of momentum, and that's going to take support and momentum away from Romney as well. I think he needs New Hampshire to get him to South Carolina in a strong position so that he can stand a chance in a state that's very socially conservative.
All right, here's your chance. Prognosticate for me. What happens tonight?
I sort of see, you know, a Romney, you know, Paul, and then Santorum finish in the top three. And I think that, you know, Romney and Paul will be close, actually. I think it'll be very close. And if perhaps, you know, Romney is not able to get the number one slot, it may not matter if he gets number two. And I think that that's ultimately going to be the verdict coming out of this. Whether he gets, whether he wins it or he comes out in second place, it may not matter. If he comes in third, which is very unlikely, I think that will matter quite a bit.
I think I am predicting a Ron Paul win, Rick Santorum, and I am predicting, and I'll erase the tape if it doesn't happen, so there'll be no, I guess, evidence. But I'm predicting a Romney third tonight, a close third.
Well, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I think anything's possible. I wouldn't put your finger on the delete button just yet.
All right, Abby, where can people find your work, and are you going to be sitting at home with a box of popcorn, a bowl of popcorn, and a soda watching the results?
Yep, I sure will. I'll be over at Politico.com, where lots of my colleagues are in New Hampshire right now. I'm going to be staying up late probably, so I'll probably be at home with some popcorn.
One last question. Do you get to travel to any of these at all?
You know, probably not this cycle, but who knows?
Still low lady on the totem pole.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Abby, and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, you too.
All right, there you go. Not a lot of difference between what she thinks and what Pete Seat believes, but we'll see. There was some. She seems to believe that there's only three tickets out of here tonight. Pete is saying, no, as long as they have money and can afford airfare, they're showing up in South Carolina and Florida and in the South because they think that's where it's going to happen. So, all right, going to take a quick break. When we come back, hopefully, Brian Howie of HowiePolitics.com, Tom Marquis, and we'll talk what's happening here in the Indiana political grapevine right here on the Gary Snyder Show.
Today's healthcare job market is wildly competitive.
Darcy Berthet, COO and Chief Nursing Officer at St. Vincent Indianapolis Hospital.
We're looking for people with very specific skills.
Today's employers know exactly what they need. Harrison College has been preparing students to meet those needs since 1902.
When we've hired nurses from Harrison College, they hit the ground running.
A college degree and job-ready skills. Harrison College, career-focused, success-driven. Enroll today at harrison.edu.
Hello world, it's your man Mike Epps. Welcome to the Super Bowl Village, where it's nothing but 10 days of football partying. Two concert stages, national, local, and regional acts. Zip lines for crazy people like myself. We got warming zones all up and down the street. Get out here to the Super Bowl Village and have fun, fun, fun!
See you downtown Indianapolis on Georgia Street, January 27th through February 5th. Entry is free. Check IndianapolisSuperBowl.com for details.
There's a dream only you can dream, a life only you can live, a space only you can fill. That space is here at Indiana Wesleyan University. Our adult degree program offers accelerated degree options for working adults, with adult-friendly admissions, academic and financial aid services. IWU degree programs are personalized, professional, and principled. Courses are taught from a foundation rooted in Christian principles and ethics. And many IWU graduates become trusted leaders in area businesses. Courses are online, on campus, and right on the money, which is why Indiana Wesleyan has become the largest private university in Indiana.
Become a part of the next generation of leadership. Come fill the space and your potential at Indiana Wesleyan University. Find out more at IWUdegrees.com. That's IWUdegrees.com.
Shopping for a car? The best place to start is CarMax.com. At CarMax.com, you can compare features, prices, and more on thousands of high-quality used cars and trucks in our nationwide inventory. You can even transfer most cars to the store nearest you, a fee may apply. It's the easy way to see actual prices and tons of pictures, and find the car that's perfect for you. Log on to CarMax.com and start shopping today. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Every day, businesses lose critical customer and financial data as a result of cybercrimes, human errors, and natural disasters. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. Barracuda Backup Service combines local backup and deduplication for rapid restores with data storage in the cloud for fail-safe disaster recovery. Protect your critical data. Visit Barracuda.com/backup to try Barracuda Backup Service free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/backup.
WBAT forecast for tonight, mostly clear, cold, and breezy. Increasing cloudiness late with near steady temperatures in the lower 20s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, windy with partial sunshine in the afternoon, not as cold with a high around 35. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low of 28 degrees, and Thursday becoming mostly sunny with a high around 40. You're listening to 1400 WBAT, your connection for sports, news, and information.
Hey, Stephanie. Never seen my brother Bob get around so well. He says Wesleyan Health and Rehab helped him get his sizzle back. Now I want my sizzle back so I can hit the ski slopes.
Well, Fred, you've come to the right place. Wesleyan Health and Rehab now offers OmniVR. It's virtual rehabilitation for aging adults targeting muscle weakness, poor balance, loss of flexibility, and more.
Sounds groovy.
Call Wesleyan Health and Rehab in Marion to ask about OmniVR at 674-3371.
Bringing local news to Marion, Fowlerton, and all of Grant County, we are 1400 WBAT.
From the WBAT newsroom, I'm Layla Price. A Fort Wayne woman was killed in a two-car collision Monday afternoon in Blackford County that police blame partly on slick roads.
20-year-old Elizabeth Mundrop of Fort Wayne died Monday evening at Methodist Hospital in Indianapolis. She was flown there after the crash, which happened on State Road 3, about 2 miles north of Hartford City. Investigators say Mundrop tried to pass a vehicle on the highway, but lost control of her car and slid into the path of a truck. The driver of the other vehicle, 42-year-old Thomas Throw of Hartford City, suffered only minor injuries. The Marion Board of Public Works has a new member as well as a new president. Brian Harris, the vice president of Marion Land Development, is the newest member of the Board of Works. He replaces longtime board president Ray Harris, who resigned from the Board of Works in November because he had moved outside city limits. That occurred just 5 days before Ray Harris and three others were killed in a plane crash near Chicago. Meanwhile, Tom Rito was chosen as the new Board of Works president. Rito says he just wants the board to operate efficiently.
Just as they bring business in front of us, we're going to deal with it in the appropriate way. I don't have any agenda at this time.
Rito says filling the shoes of Ray Harris will be a big task. He says the two were close friends. While Rito was chosen as president, Stephanie Yackel was elected vice president. Marion's newly elected officials took their oaths of office Sunday. More than 100 people attended the ceremony. Democrats will control the new Marion City Council with a 5-4 majority. Incoming Democrats Paul Thompson Jr., Jocelyn Whitaker, both at-large representatives, and 1st District member Fred Troxell all said that they are looking forward to serving the city. Mayor Wayne Siebold took his oath for his third term as Marion's mayor. Mayor Siebold says he sees the new year as a new beginning and says he's excited to create new things and start something new. The new Marion City Council will meet for the first time at 7 o'clock this evening. From the WBAT Newsroom, I'm Layla Price.
This is Michael Reagan, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
It's empty in the valley of your heart. The sun, it rises slowly as you walk away from all the fears and all the faults you've left behind. The harvest left no food for you to eat. You cannibal, you meat eater, you see. But I've seen the same, I know the shame in your defeat. But I will hold on hope and I.
All right, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show. Welcome back. Been a pretty interesting conversation so far today. We've had Pete Seat, former White House spokesman and communications director for the Indiana State Republican Party, just got off the line with Abby Phillip. We're going to waste no time talking about Indiana politics now, as there is a storm a-brewing down in Indianapolis. We're joined, of course, at this time every day by co-host Tom Marquis from Now to the End. Tom, say hi.
Good afternoon. It's good to be with you. I haven't talked with you since last year.
How many times has that went out today, you think?
I don't know. Probably too many to count.
And also joining us at this time every Tuesday, hopefully he had a nice new year. I know he was on vacation last week. Brian Howie, publisher of Howie Politics. .com. Brian, welcome.
Gary, Tom, hello. Hello, everybody out there in northern Indiana.
Did you have a nice new year, have a nice vacation?
Yeah, yeah. I went down to my cabin in Brown County and split a bunch of cherry wood. And I had these were logs, I don't know, about 2 feet in circumference. And my goal was to split them in 4 pieces with 3 whacks of the axe. And I was successful some of the time. And I also have a sore back.
You didn't go out and rent one of those hydraulic wood splitters?
No. I used those before. I had in-laws up in Goshen, and we used to go out to a stand of woods and used to do that. But no, I did the Lincoln way, you know. So, and again, my back's paying for it right now. I'm going to go get some Aleve after I get off the phone here.
Well, let's talk. The Indiana General Assembly opens up tomorrow, although that's not what really people are talking about right now. And apparently, for the first time in Indiana's history, there is a concern about fire safety in the General Assembly. And Governor Daniels has basically put out an edict saying, hey, no more than 3,000 people in the State House at one time.
Yeah, actually, the State Police Superintendent Weitzel and the Department of administration, Rob Weinkooper, had a press conference that started about 40 minutes ago. I think this is, so there's going to be some new details coming out on that, but this is probably one of the worst decisions that has come out during the Daniels administration. The State House is the people's house, and I'm sure you've had other people on your show talk about this. The idea that you can limit access, and actually today they've already made an exception. There was some kind of prayer event today, and so they decided to lift the cap for the prayer breakfast. But if you're a UAW guy from Marion or Kokomo or Fort Wayne and you want to come down and protest against the right to work legislation, which was very, very vigorously done last year, there's no telling whether you're going to get into the building or not. And to tell you the truth, I think people ought to be going to Lowe's and Home Depot and buying some pitchforks and some torches and going out and making their voices heard in a very demonstrable way. I think this is just an absolutely terrible decision. If there are safety concerns, then Superintendent Weitzel can bring in some more troopers. If they have to have EMS or firefighters on call, so be it. This is about the preservation of democracy. And your listeners ought to be calling the governor's office and really weighing in. And I don't have the number right in front of me here. Maybe that's let's try to get that number out before I get off the air today. And I think people's voice need to be heard, because this is just an absolutely terrible decision. What do you think?
Well, you know, I went online and I posted about it, and you know, unfortunately, I agree with you. I think this was done for partisan purposes. And if you're trying to disguise this as anything else than political payback or political protection for your Republican Party, I think that you're mistaken. And believe it or not, there are people, at least on the Twitter universe, that wear those Republican goggles and see nothing but right coming from the governor's mansion. You know, there's, it's fire safety, fire safety, fire safety. And then to find out that, well, maybe not, because, hey, if you're a certain group or a religious group or a group that's in favor with the Daniels administration, you get a waiver. And I agree wholeheartedly with you. And the only thing that I have to say, and you know this probably more than anyone, politics travels in cycles. It works in cycles. Democrats will be up, Republicans will be up. And at some point, I think if something goes wrong with the Republican majority in the House or the governor's race, they can probably point to this as a tipping point.
Yeah. Let me give you the phone number of the governor's office. It's 317-232-4567. I urge your listeners to give the governor a call and be very polite about it, and say that this cap on who can enter the State House is terrible. It is everything against free speech, freedom of assembly, and certainly in the people's house. And I've been there. There was a labor rally in 1995 where 20,000 people were in the building. And I wrote a column over the weekend. You know, there was about 9,000 people that assembled at Hinkle Field House, very animated fans. They watched the Butler-Milwaukee game. Later that afternoon, there were 14,000 people that showed up at Mackey Arena in Purdue to watch Purdue and Illinois play. And that night, as many of us probably watched, 17,000 people showed up at Assembly Hall in Bloomington to watch IU upset Ohio State. And the places were filled with fanatics. Some got angry at times. They yelled, they screamed, and they had the freedom to assemble. Now, obviously, the State House isn't a stadium. It's not a sports stadium, but it's probably as big in size as those three venues. And it was designed back in the 1880s to hold a lot of people.
I love it when that happens. Obviously, we lost Brian Howie. We'll try to get him right back here in just a minute. You're listening to the Gary Snyder Show. "21st Century Firearms." They're at 827 North Main Street in Bluffton, and they are your one stop for firearms, ammunition, and reloading supplies. Stop in and talk to their friendly staff with years of experience in hunting, the shooting sports, and military-style firearms. They carry a big selection of modern sporting firearms, handguns, and shotguns with one of the biggest inventories around at the best prices, period. They also deal in NFA items such as silencers, short-barreled rifles, and yes, you can even buy a machine gun from 21st Century Firearms. Check them out online, 21stCenturyFirearms.com, or you can shop them online at shop.21stCenturyFirearms.com. Store hours are 10 to 6 Monday through Friday. Saturdays are open from 9 to 4. Any questions, give them a call, 260-824-5530.
Hello, this is Governor Mike Huckabee, and you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show.
Little technical difficulties, but hey, what else is new? We're talking with Tom Marquis and Brian Howie of HowiePolitics.com. Brian, go ahead and finish your point about the State House and what you were just finishing up with there.
Where did you lose me at? I'm not sure at what point.
Something about Assembly Hall, and while it's not a stadium, it is meant to hold that many people, and you've seen it before.
Well, I've seen 20,000 people gather in the building before. I know there was some concerns because they felt like there was some shaking at the time. But certainly, the place is big enough to hold 5,000, 6,000, 10,000 people without jeopardizing anything. And again, if there are that many people that are interested in state government or a particular issue, they ought to have the right to come in from the cold and make their feelings heard. That's what the whole process is about. Did you get the governor's phone number that I just...
I did, and again, if you want to call the governor's office and protest, leave a protest call. It is 317-232-4567. Tom, do you have a question for Brian?
Well, you know, obviously, just for clarification purposes, you're not telling people to take burning torches down to the State House. That was
no, I'm not saying take him into this. That's kind of a rhetorical thing. When people show up at a government function with pitchforks, that's a danger sign. That's telling you that there's a very vivid reaction to something that's happening politically. And I'll give you an example. Back in 2007, the Indianapolis City Council was going to raise an income tax, and the many members of Mayor Bart Peterson's administration took the seats in the council chamber. The Indianapolis council chamber maybe seats about 100-150 people, and a lot of citizens that showed up that night couldn't get into this city council chambers, and they ended up out on the street. And this was a July night, and it was about 90 degrees, even though it was like 7 o'clock at night. The temperature was 90 degrees, and hundreds of people sat there and stewed like tomatoes in my chili, and they were PO'd, okay? And when I watched the news coverage that night, I said, Bart Peterson's going to get defeated. And he did. He lost by 5,000 votes. And you can trace it back to that. Now, it wasn't so much just the fact that they raised the income tax. It was the way they handled it. It was the absolutely most ham-handed way that I have ever seen. And the Republicans and the Dan administration, they seem to be intent on following that with this decision here. It's an absolutely terrible decision.
Well, my other question would be concerning tomorrow. Obviously, a judge rules on Charlie White's fate. What do you think that will be?
Well, the Indiana Democrats, if they're expecting that Judge Rosenberg may rule a stay so that it can be appealed. The hearing today, the Democrats tried to get the judge to say that, whatever happens with the appeal, that his ruling comes in or stays in force beyond the appeal process, and the appeal of this thing could go beyond Charlie's criminal trial, which is coming up, I think, on January 30th. If Charlie White is convicted of a felony crime, then he has to give up the office. And what's going on here is if he is forced out of office that way, then Governor Daniels, a Republican, gets to appoint a Republican to replace him. Where if Charlie loses this appeal to the Rosenberg ruling, then the second place finisher, Vop Ossoli, who's now an Indianapolis councilman, takes the office. And so there's a legal wrangle going here. This is unprecedented. I think it's going to go to the Indiana Supreme Court. And to tell you the truth, I've just never seen a spectacle like Charlie White at the statewide level before. This has just been one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Well, Brian, I want to go back to the State House for a minute because I've also read, and I don't know how true it is, but they've also put some kind of partition up in front of the glass where you can normally look in and see the legislators there. Is that true, or is that just an unfounded rumor?
I have not seen that, so I cannot comment on that. I was not down there today. I'm actually, every year I put together my Power 50 list that comes out on Thursday, and so I'm busy putting that together today, so I've not been down to the State House and probably won't get down there until later in the week. So that's something that you might want to ask Abdul when you get him on. I think he's been down there today.
Would you like to break a little news and maybe say Gary Snyder is on that list?
Well, maybe. Maybe.
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, you know what, Gary Snyder, you deserve to be on that list. He's my dog. As I walk in my house here, he wants to make sure that everybody hears his voice, unlike the Indiana State House, that's for sure. But, Brian, how do you think how this is really going to be, is this going to be a long-term thing down at the State House, or do you think they're just trying to send a message until they have an opportunity to vote on right to work?
I don't know. And again, I think by the evening news tonight or by tomorrow morning, we're going to have a better idea of what the state police superintendent and Rob Weinkoot, who heads the Department of Administration, I think they're going to try to explain it. This is one of these decisions that they just did an extremely poor job of even explaining it. And even if you disagree with it, that it's just a ham-handed way in which it came out. It was one of these deals that if you have a bad to release, you do it on a Friday afternoon. And in this particular case, it was a Friday afternoon before the New Year's holiday. That way, it gets buried in the Saturday papers, which are the least read papers, or the Friday night newscast when most folks are going to high school basketball games and that kind of thing. So they just kind of did it in a real devious kind of way. And so we'll have more information, I think, by the time you guys are on the air tomorrow. And we'll have to wait and see. But I still don't see how they can really defend this decision. I think it's an absolutely terrible decision that they've made. You can't limit the people from participating in the people's business. And I certainly hope Governor Daniels. Governor Daniels has made other mistakes in the past, the IBM situation with the welfare system. He very much says, yeah, I made a mistake. He's pretty good at when he realizes he's made a mistake, he'll take the steps to correct it if you know, confronted with enough facts the other way, and I'm hoping that that's the case here.
Is this something that can, I guess, a lawsuit be filed over, number one, and number two, do we even open the session tomorrow? Are the Democrats going to be there to, I guess, start the session and have a quorum?
I don't know. That's a good question. The session officially started on Organization Day, I think it was November 22nd. So it's already been established. And if they don't show up, let's say for the next three session days, then these $1,000-a-day fines start kicking in. We've heard Minority Leader Bauer talk about, he's used the word filibuster. He's saying they're weighing all their options. I'm not really sure what's going to happen, and I don't think anybody really does know outside the caucus. But I guarantee you that when the House comes into session, I think it's scheduled for either 1 or 1:30 tomorrow, you're going to hear a lot about this, and I'm not sure what's actually going to happen. So it's going to be high drama down there.
Any last question for Brian, Tom?
Well, not at all. Obviously, there's a lot of things on the agenda, and the Republicans have made it very clear that their top priority is to pass the right to work passage. Looks like they probably got enough to get that done. So what are some of the other business that is on the agenda that you think they'll get accomplished, or will this just drown everything out?
Well, I don't know. First of all, I've seen at least one press report that suggests that that there may be 10 Republicans in the House who may not support it. And for instance, I'm watching a freshman, Mike Karakoff from Kokomo, who I respect greatly. I think he's going to be a great legislator as he gets more seniority and everything. And he's not convinced. We've got Tom Dermody up in Michigan City, LaPorte area, who came out and said he's not going to support it. So it'll pass if it gets to the Senate. In the House, it's not a sure thing right now. And I can't help but think that this kind of heavy-handed maneuver by the Daniels administration, I mean, that could really have an impact with somebody like Representative Karakoff and some of the others, particularly those who, you know, Republicans who represent big labor areas like Marion and Kokomo, for instance.
And to be honest, it really just makes you sick. And even if you supported right to work, it kind of turns you off to it now by just the way that they're handling it.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is not, again, this is a classic, you know, pulling defeat from the jaws of victory. I was looking at this going in and looking at all the polling that I've seen. Most of it shows that there's pretty significant support, particularly among, like, independents. There was, like, 56% support among independent voters.
I know, and I hate to interrupt here, but we're running out of time, Brian. Real quick, where can people find your work?
Okay, HowiePolitics.com.
And we'll put that phone number up on Facebook and Twitter and get that out there, and I look forward to seeing your Power 50.
Yeah, folks, call the governor.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Take care.
All right. You heard it. Call the governor. Get rid of this heavy-handed tactic the Republican Senator or Governor Daniels is trying to use. Just really cannot believe that is going down. All right. You're listening to the Gary Snyder Show.